In Luke chapter 7, down at verse 23, blessed is he that is happy, and blessed is that man whosoever shall not be offended or ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm taking the title for the message from that verse entitled, Who is a Blessed Man? Who is a blessed man? Blessed is that sinner that is not offended over the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever is not offended of Christ and his gospel, that man is a blessed man, a blessed person. Now, this will be the last message that I'll preach to you this year. The last message that I'll preach to you this year. Next time we meet, it will be January 1st, 2017. We will have, and we will start that year, January 1st, next Sunday, our 24th year here together, preaching the gospel, seeking to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoicing in Him. We've been here 23 years, and we start our 24th year next year. Now, I'm reminded of the words of an old preacher of the past. His name was Richard Baxter. He died in 1691, a long time ago. But still this saying is said of Richard Baxter. He says, I preach as one who may never preach again. I preach as a dying man, but I also preach to dying men. I preach as one who may never preach again. I preach as a dying man, but I preach also unto you who are dying. We're all dying. And that is so true. I think of that each week as I prepared to bring a gospel message to you. But I also think of this. Those who hear the gospel message this morning, this too may be the last gospel message that you hear. For you hear as one who is also dying. Our days are numbered. The number of our months are with the Lord. I've got a little machine at home that I wrap around my arm and check my blood pressure. And sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down, and sometimes it's just scattered all over. But one of the things, when I push the button on that, and you know how they squeeze, and then as it releases the pressure, you can feel that heartbeat. And then on that monitor, I see that little image of a heart, and you can hear it going beep, beep, beep. I thought about this as I sat there and looked at that. The scriptures teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart unto wisdom, but each beat of our heart is numbered. We have a number that God has determined. Man's days are not in their hands. Man's days are in the hand of the Lord, and I want them there. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. Judgment. I preach as a dying man, but I preach to you who are also quickly passing away. The scriptures describe our life as swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Our days here are few and full of trouble. Therefore, both preacher and hearer should be most careful and zealous in who we preach, what we preach, and what and how we hear. What I preach, how I preach, who I preach, and how and what you hear. Now, we want to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ every time we preach. I'm determined not to be sidetracked. I'm determined, as Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But we almost also must be determined as hearers to hear nothing but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said this in Mark 4:24. We are told to take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. And then also we're going to see in Luke chapter 8, he said, take heed how you hear. How you hear. We hear this word and read this word and treat it as the very word of God. And then James put it this way, we're told to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to anger. Swift to hear. Oh, our Lord said, blessed are your eyes for they see, blessed are your ears for they hear. Not all men see truly as they should. Not all men hear. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. If you look at our text today from verse 18 down to verse 23, that is our message today from verse 18 down to verse 23, we see the Lord Jesus Christ coming upon this funeral scene, and he touches the bed of this man that was carried out dead. This man of a widow, he was a young man, and the Lord Jesus Christ speaks a word in power because he speaks as God, and he says, I say unto thee, young man, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Who can do that? None but God. And he delivered him to his mother. That's salvation. He delivers us by his power, by his sacrifice. He delivers us fully by his grace. The result of that, in Luke 7, verse 16, there came fear on all. The only place where a sinner will truly worship is at the throne of the Almighty God. This is a reverential fear. And the fruit of that was they gave God all the honor and glory. They glorified God, saying, what did they say? A great prophet is risen among us, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise in Deuteronomy 18, that God was raised up a prophet to declare the testimony of God, and truly he is that great prophet. And they said, secondly, that God hath visited his people. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, that great prophet, is still visiting his people today. You say, well, I don't see him. I don't feel him. Listen to the promise. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. God still visits his people in mercy, and he still visits his people in grace. Evidently, among that crowd, there were some of the disciples of John. John the Baptist, who went and told John of this rumor, as it says in verse 17, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, throughout all the region round about, and the disciples of John showed him all these things, and John, calling unto him two of his disciples, and sent them to the Lord Jesus, art thou that he should come? Or should we look for someone else? Perhaps some of John's disciples here were jealous or even puzzled over the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard the people say, a great prophet is risen among us. Wait a minute now. Isn't John also a great prophet? Maybe they were envious. Maybe they were jealous. Maybe they were a little bit puzzled as to what was going on. The Lord Jesus Christ said of John, the prophet of God, look right across the page in Luke 7, verse 28, and we'll look at this more carefully next week. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Now, he was God's prophet. He was the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sent of God, who came to bear witness of the light. But perhaps John's disciples did not understand what all was involved here. Now, I have 3 points to this message this morning. The first one, found in verse 19 and verse 20, and we see here the faithful ministry of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. He was a man sent from God to bear witness of what? To bear witness of John? No, to bear witness of the light, the true light that cometh into the world. Now, there was a question, verse 19, and John calling unto him two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord Jesus with this question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Verse 20, and when they were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us to thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, there was no question or no doubt in the mind of John. John fully knew about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, John at this time had been put in prison for declaring the truth. And John is not telling his disciples to go ask if this one from Nazareth, Jesus Christ, is indeed the Christ of God, for he full well knew that he was. Don't turn, let me just read this to you. In Matthew chapter 3, the Lord was baptized in Jordan of John. Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to baptize of thee. Comest thou to me? And the Lord answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. John always was pointing those around him unto the Lord Jesus Christ alone. John in prison knew that his ministry was about over. John wanted his disciples to look to whom? He wanted his disciples to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. John was all about pointing sinners to Christ. Now hold your place there and find John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And I quoted this earlier. His ministry was all about pointing sinners to Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. When they came to ask him, John, who are you? Look at John chapter 1, verse 23. He said, I'm a voice. Don't look to me. They asked him one time, are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Oh no, not me. I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Again in John chapter 1, look at verse 29. You see, John didn't send his two disciples unto the Lord to see if he was the Christ indeed. John knew that. He sent those two men not for the benefit of John, but for their benefit. Look at John 1, 29. The next day, John seeth the Lord Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 35. John 1, verse 35. And again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn again in the book of John to chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. You yourself bear witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I'm sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase. I must be put out of the way. I must decrease. John was always pointing sinners through his ministry, and even while he's in prison, he's still doing the same thing, isn't he? You go to him, and you look to him, and you ask him, are you the Christ? Yes. We're going to see that in just a minute. John's ministry, therefore, was all about pointing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wise is that preacher, called and sent of God, to always point sinners to Christ, to always lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all unto me. That is what this ministry right here at Zebulun's been all about since the spring of 1986. We've been together. This ministry was started in the spring of 1986, when Pastor Henry Mahan came here the first time and preached the gospel to you. I was here that very night, that Sunday evening, and he took his text from Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The first message was preached in this pulpit was a message pointing sinners to Christ, who has all power to save. There's salvation in no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it be true that there's no other message that's come from this pulpit but that of Christ in Him crucified. That's what I've been trying to do for the last 35 years of my life. Preaching the gospel, pointing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a charge I take personally and seriously, and this is a charge that the Lord's church takes personally and seriously. When Paul, sitting there in prison, writes back to young Timothy, he said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judged the living and the dead, to preach the word, preach the word. And then Paul, when he departed from those elders at Ephesus, he said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but showing you from house to house repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there is no other. There is no other, is there? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Is there another coming? Is there another Savior? Well, listen to these scriptures. There is no other salvation, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other Savior. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. I know this, there's no other mediator between God and men than the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am God, and beside me there is no other, and there's just one mediator, the God-man mediator. There's no other Redeemer but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Redeemer that really, truly does save His people with His own blood. I know this, there's no other righteousness, is there? There's no other salvation. This is the righteousness that we must have. Wise is that preacher that would always point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, I am God. And there is no other. But wise is that person. Wise is that parent that would point their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what the mother and grandmother of young Timothy did when Paul says here, Lois and Eunice, they taught you the gospel. And then Paul said this, and thou from a child hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wise is that preacher that would always point sinners to Christ. Wise is that parent that would always point their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wise is that friend that would tell his friends salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. May it always be said here, this ministry is all about preaching Christ, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, giving Him all the honor and glory in salvation. Now here's the second thing. Okay, there was a question. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now what's the Lord Jesus Christ going to do and say? Here we have the divine evidence truly given to us that Jesus of Nazareth indeed is the Christ of God. That God indeed hath visited His people. Look at verse 21. In that same hour He cured many of their infirmities, and many that had plagues, and many that had evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, He gave sight. He spoke a word, and it was done. Now look at verse 23. Then Jesus answering and said unto them, so He healed many, He demonstrated that He is God. And then He said this, verse 22. You go your way and you tell John. You tell John what things you have seen and what you have heard. Now, two words here are very important. How that. You see that? How that. How that the blind see. How that the lame walk. How that lepers are really cleansed. How that deaf hear. How that the dead are raised up. How that the poor, the gospel is preached unto them. The Lord, beyond all doubt, clearly demonstrated to all the people that He indeed, the only Christ of God. The only Christ of God. What He did in His earthly ministry was complete, the complete fulfillment of all Holy Scriptures, the creed of God from eternity for this purpose. Find Luke chapter 4. You remember when He went to His hometown synagogue in Nazareth and they delivered Him the book of Isaiah, and He found a place and He opened the book. Verse 17. He opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord, this is from Isaiah 61, is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now watch this. He closed the book, gave it back to the minister in the synagogue. He sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He said this, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ did in His earthly ministry was foretold and prophesied of, and the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled every type, picture, and pattern, every prophecy. And all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth, and they said, is not this the son of Joseph? Oh no, this is God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard. How that God gives salvation to the Lord's people. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not about the great things we have done for God. The gospel is not about you. The gospel is about Him. But rather the great things He has done for us. He has performed all things for us. All righteousness, all redemption. Everything that is mentioned here in Luke chapter 7 verse 22. Everything that is mentioned here is exactly what the Lord has done for every sinner who He has wisely and powerfully saved by His grace. He mentions there are six different things, and we're going to go over each one of these things. How God saves us by His purpose and His grace given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. How that? He mentioned six things here. How that? First of all, he says here, the blind see. Now, these things that are told here are a description of what we are in ourselves, in our nature, in our sin, in our depravity. By nature, we're what? Blind. Spiritually. Now, I can see with these eyes. And that's a blessing, isn't it? To have good sight. But by nature, I'm blind to the things of God. I don't have spiritual eyes of faith to behold Him. I'm blind. He must come and He must give us spiritual eyes to behold Him. And when He does, when He says, look unto me and live, when He gives life, when He commands the light to shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, when He gives life and light, what do? We see. Who do we see? We see Him. We see Him with eyes of faith to behold the Lamb of God. He's my sacrifice for sin. I'm no longer blind. I see who He is. And I love who He is. And then the second thing that he mentions here, we were lame. We were lame. And that's a good description of what we are naturally. Crippled. Like old Mephibosheth, lame on both feet. We were lame, that is, unable to walk the walk of faith, unable to believe Him. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. But when He gives faith, when He gives life, what do? We walk. We walk in faith, believing Him, looking unto Him, and coming unto Him always. Always looking unto Him. You see, faith is a gift of God. When faith has legs, where does it walk? It walks right to Christ. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. How do we come to Christ? By faith. By the legs of faith. By the eyes of faith. Now here's the third thing that he mentions here. Lepers. Lepers are really cleansed. Now, leprosy in this day was a terminal disease. It was a vile disease. And this leprosy is a good type and picture of what we are before God. Full of sin. From the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We are lepers through and through. There's nothing I can do to cure my leprosy. There's nothing I can do to put away my sin. But you know what the blessed hope of the gospel is? Let me show you an example of that. Find Matthew chapter 8. Here's a leper that was cleansed. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he worshipped Him. Matthew chapter 8 verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him. A leper and worshipped Him saying, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. And the Lord put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He was cleansed by the will of God, by the power of God. By nature we're full of sinful leprosy, and the Lord Jesus Christ, by His will and by His power and by His sacrifice, what does He do? He makes us clean. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin, does it not? The fourth thing he mentions there, we were deaf. And the Lord gave us ears to hear. By nature, we don't hear, will not hear, will not have the truth of God, the way of God. We have no ears to hear. Oh, but when He opens our ear, opens our heart, He makes us to hear His voice, doesn't He? He said, my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. They're in tune to the Word of God, to the truth of God. The sheep of Christ know when the gospel is declared. And they also know, they have a discerning spirit, when the gospel is denied, when a false preacher denies the gospel of God, they too, they have an ear to hear. Oh, that man's not telling the truth. The fifth thing he mentions there, the dead are raised. Now again, this is what we are spiritually before God. We're born dead spiritually. Now I have physical life, but I don't have spiritual life. Dead in sin. How dead? Graveyard dead. Graveyard dead. How's a dead man going to be raised up? Not by his power. Not by his will. Not by his work or doing. God must raise us up. And that's exactly what the Scriptures teach. We were dead in trespasses and in sin, and He sovereignly passed by, as it says there in Ezekiel 16, in the time of love, when He saw that infant polluted and dead cast out into the field, and He passed by in the time of love, and He said, "Live. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." And the last thing that he mentions there, the dead are raised up. These are the things that God has done for us in Christ. To the poor, the gospel is preached. You know what? By nature, by our sinful nature, and by our birth and by practice and choice, we are spiritually bankrupt sinners. We're in the poorhouse of sin. We're bankrupt sinners. We have nothing, know nothing, and are nothing. You know what he does? He makes us rich. He preaches the gospel unto us, the gospel of his grace, and makes us to know that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of my favorite scriptures, again, in 2 Corinthians 8:9, he said, "For you know the grace of our God, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, that you through his poverty, through his sacrifice, through his humanity, through his impoverishment, that we might be made," what? "Rich." The poor have the gospel preached unto them. We've been made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance in him, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, that's reserved for us who are kept by the power of God. Now the last point is found in verse 23. Who is the blessed man? Are you a blessed person? Who is the blessed man? Now I know this for sure. It's not what most people think, is it? It's not what most people think it is. Blessedness does not reside in health, wealth, popularity, prosperity, social status, or station in life. That's not blessedness. That's not blessedness. Blessedness is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. For all spiritual blessings are found only in Him. Blessed is that man that believes the gospel. You remember that scripture over here? Turn back one page. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. He said, "Blessed be ye poor. Blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are they that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate from you, from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." God's people are blessed abundantly in Christ the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to turn with me, you can find Psalm 32. Who is that blessed man? Psalm 32. Blessed is he, verse 1, Psalm 32. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's the blessed man. Blessed is that man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. That's the blessed man. That's the blessed man. I'll show you one other psalm. I could read many of them, but turn to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Here's the blessed man. Verse 4. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. Blessed is that man whom God hath chosen, that causes us to approach because we are drawn by his everlasting love. Blessed is that man that does not stumble over the gospel of his grace. Blessed is that man that is not offended over the gospel of God's sovereign mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, to you who believe, he's not a stumbling stone. To you who believe, he's not a rock of offense, is he? To you who believe, he is precious. To you who believe. Now, blessed is that man, whosoever he may be, that shall not be offended in me, not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is altogether lovely. Now, men today are not offended over a baby in a manger. They like that. But when you preach the absolute sovereignty of God, the absolute authority of God in creation, providence, and salvation, when you preach and lift up the sovereign Christ of God on a throne of absolute rule, reigning and ruling over all things, men left to themselves will stumble over this. It will be a rock of offense unto them. They will hate that because man by nature hates the true and living God. When he's exposed to it, they will often say, if Christ died only for the elect, he's no Savior of mine. You see, men and women who are taught of God, they love the sovereignty of God. They love God who was sovereign. They love God who can raise up dead sinners. You see, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind will not receive the things of God. God's people, when they're taught of God, they're not offended. They're not ashamed. The gospel is not a stumbling stone. Now, wherein lies the offense of the gospel with the natural man? Paul said in Galatians 5, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision or works, why do I suffer persecution? If I preach works, he said, then the offense of the cross is ceased. Galatians 5:11. Again, he said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. For the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, the called, both Jews or Gentiles, Christ the power of God, and Christ the wisdom of God. Whosoever is not offended or ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a blessed man. Now, wherein is the offense? I'm almost through. Just give me just a minute. Wherein is the offense? Where is the offense of the gospel? It's offensive to man's religious pride and his self-righteousness. Lost sinners, in some measure, in some way, think that their salvation depends upon them, or determined by them. Salvation, as it's revealed in the Word of God, is always dependent, determined, and accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner contributes nothing to his salvation. Nothing. Our Lord said, the Father hath given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to me. When he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of God. You see, the man full of religious pride, he didn't want to hear that. He thinks it really depends upon him. He thinks God done all he can do. Now, won't you let him have his way? The second offense is this. It's offensive to man's intelligence and wisdom when we declare that salvation is by divine and sovereign revelation rather than human education. That we're totally shut up to the mercy of God in this matter. You know, the gospel is called a mystery that must be revealed. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babe. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Thirdly, the gospel of Christ is also offensive to the natural man's will and his carnal mind. Our Lord said, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. We preach the sovereign will of God in salvation, not man's will. Not man's will. It's neither free nor is it willing to come to Christ. It's in bondage to his nature. It's enslaved to his sinful nature. We must be made willing in the day of his power. You see, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now in closing, blessed is that sinner that is not offended or does not stumble over Christ and him crucified. And we can say with Paul, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Christ crucified is all our hope for forgiveness of our sin, all of our justification before God. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Blessed is he, the Lord said, that's not offended in me. All that God has for any sinner is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not? Salvation's in a person. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. God will demand nothing more than Jesus Christ and him crucified. And God will receive nothing less than that perfect sacrifice that he provided. This is God's Lamb. If Christ is all you have, Christ crucified is all you have, all your righteousness, all your wisdom, all your sanctification, all your redemption, you have all things. Is Christ enough? If he's all you have everything. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him you stand complete. Christ is all and in all. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In me.